surely need the help of the Lord here this afternoon. I want to ask you to kind of study along here with me. We want to start out over here in 2 Corinthians. I was impressed last night, with something that was said about humility. And those of you that were here last night, if you can remember, he said something about humility was it would defeat many demons. And it kind of struck me when he said, I think it's exactly right. Humility is a very powerful weapon. And I think many times we underestimate humility. A lot of times it's easy for us to kind of shun humility because it requires me getting low. But oh, I want to tell you what. The power of the weapon. The great victories that are found when humility is employed. And when he put it in those terms last night, he said humility can defeat many demons. I believe that's so. Over here in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, we look into some of the word of the Lord here. Brother Paul, in the second verse of 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, said, "But I beseech you there that I may be, I'm sorry, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh." And then he put this little verse in here with brackets around it. And I think there's tremendous truths in this verse. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." To me, that is something that we all need to have, especially in the warfare that we're in today. Where the devil would come out and try to attack us in so many different ways. He would try to divide us in all kinds of ways. One of the burdens that I've had here the last 6 months to a year, actually some before that, it seems like that we can all go our separate ways after Monarch, and we feel almost alone. Ministers have our little places that we work in, our congregation, we kind of get absorbed in the area around us, and we start feeling almost alone. We kind of get caught up in that realm. And then the months start going by, and I hardly get to know the knowledge, the freeness that we have between brotherhood sometimes is not there because we haven't had much interaction. So we start feeling, you know, the devil would like to separate us all. So we start feeling isolated. We start feeling like I'm here all alone. And the devil would like to cause us to feel as though not only we're all alone, that there's not much reason to go on. Nobody else sees it like I do. And we start feeling, we feel the pressure. We're in a warfare. Spiritual warfare. Now, if we were all going, banding together and go out here to a physical war, we would be interested in having some good armament. We would want to have some good weaponry. And we would want to have the type of weaponry that would not only shoot straight and deliver a punch, but we would want it to do it often. We wanted to, when you pull back on the trigger, we would be interested in it being very effective. Well, this isn't a battle that we're going to fight, and we're not going to win according to the flesh. We're not going to get victories in the flesh at all. In fact, the flesh is what is going to need to be diminished and crucified, mortified. And we're going to have to put Christ first. Folks, look around us. We can see the devil at work trying to cause things to be stirred up within all of our bosoms that would cause trouble and cause us to have difficulty having confidence between each other. I want to tell you that's the devil at work. And it's between you and I. It's our responsibility to do all we can. Everything we know how to do, and then get down on our knees and ask the Lord for grace to go a little farther. To defeat the devil, because he's at work. But there is a God who knows how to lead you and I well into the battle that we can go conquering and to conquer. That we can go forward. We don't have to fall prey to this. That we can bring ourselves lovingly into subjection of a very wonderful God who cares for you and I, who is interested in overshadowing us with His very love that was spoken about last night, with all those characteristics of His love. And He wants to nurture those characteristics within our soul. That we might be victorious. That the devil wouldn't catch advantage in our time. It's a very real battle that we're in. The weapons, though, of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. And I want to ask you, one of them was mentioned last night. Humility is one of those weapons that I thought of last night. Tremendous weapon. Believe when we employ humility, if someone has done us wrong, whether by intent or by mistake, do you know how wonderful, what great victory we can achieve if I turn a deaf ear to the stirrings of Satan as he's trying to get in there and trying to stir up my mind and getting me to have rancor in my soul when I begin to think, well, they said that and I know how they meant that and I know they did that intentionally. Oh, dear ones, the devil's at work when that's going on in our mind. But humility says, Lord, help me to humble down here. Do you remember what David said? He was going barefooted. He was leaving his throne. He was leaving town barefooted, chased, I believe, by his son, wasn't he, at this time? And you remember a man over here alongside was going along, and you remember what he was saying? Calling him a dog. Saying all kinds of bad things toward David, cursing him. One of his men said, if you'll just let me go over there, I can take his head off. We can stop this right now. David humbled down and he said, no. He said, maybe God told him to say that. Oh, can we take that attitude? Did you know there's some real victory there when we can? Humility is effective. Oh, you know, we think of the atomic weapon as it's a powerful, and it is, but it's not as big as humility. Oh, you bring humility and bring it into the battle, and you see something raging in our own soul. We start having some of this strife going on. Maybe strife between brethren that the devil's trying to stir up. And if you bring the atomic weapon of humility, I want to tell you, you're going to see strife cease. I'm sorry.
There's no forgiveness in a bomb.
That's right. There's no forgiveness in a bomb. But in humility, there's great forgiveness. And there's healing. There's a balm of Gilead. There is a healing virtue that comes along with humility when that's employed. It helps us in so many areas of our life. You know, if David would have tried to stand up there and with carnality. He said, you know, I'm sick of him saying that. Just go kill him. Did you know he'd had guilt on his soul? It wouldn't have helped anything. It only exacerbated the situation. Made it worse, but instead, he gave his battle over to the Lord. Now, there's a verse that comes right after this. And my Bible has clearly turned since the last time I looked at it. Pages have. Going to have to get back over here to where I was. There's a verse right after this that says, casting down imaginations. You know, we have there's a lot of nations around. We can think the United States is a pretty large nation, got a lot of population. There's other places have a lot of nations, but I want to tell you one of the biggest nations is imagination. The devil's using it. And it can get built up so big in my mind and yours. And it will overcome us if we allow it. But humility is one of those weapons that's big enough to take on the nation of imagination. Big enough to bring it down. Casting down imagination. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Do you think the Lord has victory for us today? I want to tell you He does. What do we have? I believe Brother Peter was speaking some about some of this weaponry. Over in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, I want us to notice some of what he was speaking of here. The ways that we can get some victory, some powerful weaponry against the devil. 1 Peter 4 and 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Another place there's a scripture that talks about all prayer. And all prayer and supplication. Have you ever noticed when we actually get ourselves alone with the Lord? Maybe we have a burdened heart. Maybe we have some things that's really demanding our attention and bothering us. We don't know how it's going to turn out. So, and we feel burdened, feel almost overwhelmed by it. Have you ever gotten that to the place where you really got it in the hands of the Lord? You're on your knees seeking Him with all your heart and you felt the relief when you just handed it over to the Lord. I want to tell you it's a powerful weapon. A wonderful thing when we can give it to the Lord. All prayer and supplication. Here he says, above all things have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Now, the brother was talking to us last night about charity. About agape love. I want to tell you here this afternoon that when we have the love of God fervently flowing within our heart, it will eliminate and better than that, more than eliminate, it will prevent many problems. When I love you as God would have me love you, He says have fervent charity. You know what that means? That's an action that I can take toward you. It's action I can take toward God. This is a powerful weapon. Have fervent charity between us. Me giving you space. Me giving you the love of God. Let me repeat to you something an older minister said that was told to me. I believe there's some merit in what he had to say. He was talking about the love of the Lord. And he was a mason. He would lay bricks, lay blocks. And when you're laying blocks or laying bricks, you have mortar in between them. And if you don't have that, things shift around. You got to have it there to kind of hold it in place, kind of holds it in cohesiveness. And he said the love of God is like that. It holds us together. But before you think that it sticks us so close together, he says it also keeps you that far apart. Gives each other some space. There's some value in that. Have fervent charity. You know, sometimes I can see something that maybe we can look at each other and maybe not understand the reasons why somebody does something, not understanding it well. And in my heart, I can look at that and say, I can draw a judgment and say, I believe they had wrong motives here. And I can say, I don't think that's right. And perhaps it's not. But my part is to have fervent charity and give you some space. And ask the Lord to bless and help you. Oh, one time, Brother Clifford Wilson, who was my pastor at that time. Oh, he was a man of God. I learned to really appreciate the example that he came and set before us. He came and set an example of a very godly man right in the time when our congregation had went through some real turmoil or some real troubles that the devil had caused to happen there. And here I was, a young man, just gotten saved and needing some balance, needing some help. And here came Brother Clifford Wilson. The Lord put it on his heart, come. And I so appreciated his love for my soul and the way he nurtured and fed us young folks. Sister LaDonna knows what I'm talking about. She was right there. Saw it too. Brother Bob Wilson saw some of it too. He was there in the congregation. Brother Clifford. One time we were talking and just a sweet conversation. Such encouragement, such counsel from the Lord. And I told him in the council, in that time of talking with him, I said, Brother Clifford, I want to give you the right, not only the right, I want to encourage you, if you ever see me doing something that's not right or questionable, I said, will you please come and let me know? And Brother Clifford, he kind of ducked his head and smiled. He said, oh, Brother Ivan, he said, I believe I'll tell the Father about it. You know what that meant? He didn't mean he would not be concerned about me. But he knew where the real source of help was. He learned a secret of prayer. And he learned to set an example. I want to tell you, I believe I could have received any kind of thing he said to, but he knew where I really needed to have the counsel from. We've got a Heavenly Father who loves you and I. And the charity that he shows toward you and I, he can get things across to you and I, to us personally, that neither one of us, we don't have the capability of reaching to that place in our hearts. Not effectively like he does. Have you ever been corrected by the Lord? Have you ever? I hope you have. Because whom the Lord loves, he chastens. I certainly hope all of us can say, yes, he's been correcting me. Along with that correction, do you remember how thoroughly you knew where you stood? You remember how thoroughly you were chastened and at the same time, uniquely, there was the quality of correction was so that not only did you know how thoroughly wrong you had been, but how completely he wanted to help you on. I don't know how the Lord does that, but he does. That's the kind of Father we have. That's the charity. That's his love that he's sharing with you and I. Draws us up higher. It's some weapons of our warfare as we're struggling in this life here below. The Lord would have us get victories in whatever line the devil is battling us individually here today or into the future. I want to tell you, the Lord has the weapon perfectly designed for your unique situation, and he's got it available for you and I. And God help us to reach out and grasp what he's handing to us and make use of it. When he talks about mortifying, therefore, the deeds that are done in the body, put it to death, crucify. When the Lord's telling, you know why he's doing that for? It's not to make your life miserable, but to rather that you would have life more abundantly. Amen. That the glory of the Lord would be more open, more displayed in our lives. And Brother Peter here said, well, maybe in the seventh verse, he said, watch into prayer, how important prayer is. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity covers a multitude of sins. This does not mean that it excuses sin, because God doesn't do that. But what God does, charity, have you ever noticed how when we really show godly love to one another, you know how that improves each other and calls us higher? Do you notice how the love of God, when he demonstrates it to you and I, how we are called up to a higher plane? You know what he's doing? He's causing us not to be defiled by the sin things, those things that would come and destroy. Sin, charity covers a multitude of sin. It overcomes these things. Thank the Lord for that. Here's another weapon. Use hospitality. How good are you today with that one? Oh, Lord, have mercy on us. Sometimes I feel like something like this really catches me short. So many times, just reaching out and touching your fellow man and letting them know you care. He said, use it. You know what it does to a congregation when there's hospitality in that congregation? When you make it a point to go over, would you come over to my house? Would you come have a meal with me? Or just make them feel comfortable. You know what? At Monarch, it's a very good place here at Monarch to exercise hospitality. You see somebody come in here that you've never met before. Perhaps they're just visiting today. Did you know they need to have somebody come and say, hello? I don't think I've met you. I'm sure glad to see you. You here just traveling through? Or is there some way we can help you? What's your interest? And they said, well, I just saw this advertisement. I just came by. I want to see what was going on. Well, thank the Lord. Trust the Lord blesses you while you're here. Let them know you care. Isn't that hospitality? My grandmother, Sister Margaret Eck, was a woman who was given to hospitality. Those who knew her could say yes. Up later on in her older years, when she wasn't hardly able to take care of her own house, I've seen her many a time when maybe Sunday morning service was ended and maybe there was somebody there that wasn't normally in services. And as soon as what the amen prayer, the dismissal prayer was said, amen, she headed over there to him and she said, could you come home with me for lunch? That was who she was. She was a minister. They would get up on Sunday morning very early. In the dairy business, Grandpa would milk cows and Grandma would go to prayer. They'd work together and she would have a meal prepared. I've heard her teach this in the home congregation. Sister LaDonna can amen it. I've heard her teach that this is what you can do. You can manage your time in such a way that whether if there's a visitor there, and there may not be, but if there's a visitor there, you're going to have a meal ready for them that they can come right home with you. She taught it, and she lived it. She used hospitality. There was a man that came there in the neighborhood, and Grandma would make pies every once in a while, and she knew he liked pies. And she was getting to the point where she wasn't hardly able to hold her balance, but she was there in services that morning, and this man had come and she said, after service, she said, if you'll come by the house, I've got some pies made for you. And he looked at me and shook his head. And he said, she can't hardly stand, and she's got pies for me. You know what it did to him? You know what that said to him? Oh, yeah. Use hospitality. Use it. And sometimes we think, well, I'm so busy. And we are, I want to tell you. Satan has, he's got some powerful weapons too. And sometimes we fall prey to the weapon of busyness. Lord, help us. Sometimes I use that as an excuse when I really should have reached out and touched somebody. Just the other day, coming over here, you know, my mother-in-law is bedfast, and we have to hire some people to stay with her when we're gone. And one of the women that were supposed to be there with her today, just a few days ago, her husband fell and hit his head. And they don't know whether he fell and hit his head because he had a brain bleed or the bleeding on the brain happened because he fell and hit his head. But he's in the hospital over at Joplin right now and not expected to survive. And so it was quite a traumatic thing for her. And so yesterday when we was on the way over here, we drove up there to the hospital. And you'd be surprised what just a little bit of caring does for people. Oh, yeah. And I walked away from that thinking, why don't I do that more often? Yeah. You know what I mean, Brother Michael? It's a blessing in it, isn't there? Yeah. Brother Michael's got a story to tell. Won't tell all of it, but there was a man that the congregation there at Springfield had been working with, given some time to, and they got to see him get saved. What a precious thing. Use hospitality. Use it. It's a weapon. It might get somebody to heaven. Walked in there, hospital, and these folks, some of them were stretched out asleep. It had been a hard night. You feel like I feel kind of awkward. I don't want to disturb him here. And we had just little flowers to give him. And I thought we'll just kind of express our care and then turn around and walk out here. But the man rose up from his and directly said, would you like to pray before you leave? I said, sure would. Got down there beside his bed and began to pray. And I want to tell you, by the time we was done, is reaching out their hand saying, sure, glad you came. Oh, folks, people need help. Amen. Charity, hospitality, humility. Oh, powerful weapons. It'll break down walls. It'll tender hearts. It'll cause people to want to come back to services. It'll cause people to say, well, I see something in there that I've not seen anywhere else. You know, anybody can rise up in pride and defend themselves in court. Anybody, it don't take much to have a good argument. It takes a lot more. It takes a lot more grace to be quiet. Let men ride over your head. David said that, didn't he? Lord, you caused men to ride over my head. Oh, where are we today? These are weapons, folks. These are powerful weapons. This is how we get victory in our soul. We're not going to get it if we rise up in carnality. Oh, may all self be slain. My friends, see only thee. Though it costs me grief and pain, I'll find my life again. If I lose myself, I'll find it, Lord, in thee. In the Blue Book, does anyone have one? There's a song in there, all of first part, all of self and none of thee, but then it goes on down toward the end of it, all of none of self and all of thee. Does anyone have that song here? I wish we could read those words here, but it depicts the way the Lord works with us flawed humans, if we let him. At first, maybe, you know, we feel, we see the Lord and what he has to offer, and no, I'm having too much fun. I want to do it my way. And so say, all of self and none of thee. I want my way. But then the warmth of God's love begins to break into. Thank you. Oh, the bitter pain and sorrow that a time could ever be when I proudly said to Jesus, all of self and none of thee. All of self and none of thee. All of self and none of thee. When I proudly said to Jesus, all of self and none of thee. Yet he found me. I beheld him bleeding on the cursed tree. And my wistful heart said faintly, some of self and some of thee. All some of self and some of thee. Some of self and some of thee. And my wistful spirit and my wistful heart said faintly, some of self and some of thee. Day by day, his tender mercy, healing, helping, full and free, brought me lower while I whispered, less of self and more of thee. Less of self. Oh, isn't this how the Lord works? What powerful weapon he turns loose on us. To gain the glory of the Lord in our hearts. Less of self and none of thee. Let me see. He brought me lower while I whispered, less of self and more of thee. Higher than the highest heaven. Deeper than the deepest sea. Lord, thy love at last hath conquered none of self and all of thee. None of self and all of thee. None of self and all of thee. Lord, at last thy love has conquered none of self and all of thee. Oh, what a blessing that the Lord. Leave it up here. Don't you think the Lord has that for all of us? He wants that old carnal flesh that would rise up and he wants it in its rightful place on the cross, mortified. What a powerful weapon. Humility, fervent charity, hospitality. All these wonderful qualities that makes us victorious. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man has received the gift. Now listen closely now to this scripture. As every man has received the gift. I want to ask you, did you get from the Lord what you deserved? Think about that before you answer. Did you receive? Do you think you deserved mercy? Do you think you deserve salvation? We didn't get from the Lord what we deserved. Let me tell you what we got. We got great mercy and great love. When we deserved judgment. When we deserved to be on the cross where he was. When we deserve to be spit on. When we deserve to have the stripes. When we deserve that. There was one who stood up and said, let me take it. They can't. And so his love extended to poor people like you and I and said, I'll take your place. And so this scripture now says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. Isn't that challenging to you and I? You know what forgiveness means? You know, we like to think, well, I'm forgiven. He let me go. Forgiveness is like giving before. I gave you something. You can go ahead. I'll give you the right. You don't have to like me. I forgive you. I extend to you. I give to you mercy and love. And as you and I have received this gift from the Lord, he loved us while we were yet sinners. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Amen. And He wants, as we now have received this great mercy from the Lord, He says, this gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Oh, may the Lord help us this afternoon. I want to encourage you this afternoon. There's some great weapons that the Lord has for us that brings great victories in our life. We don't have to fail. We don't have to fall prey. There will be human endeavors that as we go along, there will be places. Let me be careful here. I'm not interested in anybody thinking that God okays sin in people's lives. He doesn't. But He also recognizes our human places and the places that He will identify in our lives where there needs to be improvement. And He'll bring us to places as we walk with the Lord that will recognize this is a place that needs to be changed. This is not like Christ. And at that point, we recognize the grace of God has been extended to you and I. And as we do that and take advantage of it and follow on into the perfection of the Lord, as we follow on as the Lord perfects that concerns us, then we'll also realize that the Lord had mercy on me. You know, the Lord sees some of those things all. He sees that long before we do. He brings us to a place where we recognize our need. And since He sees that, and He had mercy and dealt with us for maybe many years before He brought us to that place of understanding of where my need was, God help us to extend that same type of mercy to others. Pray for them. And like Brother Clifford said, oh, Brother Ivan, I believe I'll tell the Father about it. Love. See what it does. It extends to each other space. It not only holds us together, but it lets us give each other the proper amount of space. And we encourage and hold each other to come up higher. Lord, help us each one to be the example to one another also. Not just our words that we say. You know, we can say a lot of things behind a pulpit. We can stand up and say a lot of words. But it's much easier learned when people see it in action. So Lord, help us today to be faithful in every way and to employ these weapons. And the weapons I just spoke of, about a very few today. There's many other specialized weapons. As you read the scripture and the counsel that's in there, may the Lord help us to embrace the weaponry of Christ. Put on the whole armor of God. See, there's a lot of said in that chapter also. The whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand. God help us. I want to encourage you here this afternoon. God has weapons that'll pull down strongholds. Places that you feel like perhaps you think, well, I'm not going to get a victory there. I've struggled with it for years. Well, the Lord has something He says differently. He says, I want to give you the victory. I want to encourage us to seek for that. Let the devil not take advantage of us in this day we're living in. I want to tell you, it's very critical. The devil's hard at work, and he'll do all he can to cause stir up friction within our homes. He loves to tear up a home. He'll love to tear up congregations. He'll love to tear up this setting right here. I want to encourage us not to let it happen. I look around here and I'm surprised sometimes at the faces that aren't here anymore. We've had some that have left us because the Lord took them home. Brother Gordon Humphrey, Sister Sibylla, we buried them not that long ago. Yeah. Brother Leslie Busby is close to his crown. Yeah, these are holes in this
sorry, but I want to tell you, these are people I've leaned on. And they meant something to me. And I look around and I find that the older ones are getting younger. Well, I mean, what I mean by that is that the older ones are dying. It's the older ones are getting closer to my age. And I feel lost. I want to tell you, I need God. We need God. We need to lean on some of these weapons, not carnally. You know, we can try to think of ways that, you know, we need to put our hand to this ark and guide it because it might fall off. I want to tell you, God's still in control. God wants us to bring ourselves under His control. It'll all work well. He knows how to guide the ship if I'm willing to stay on it. Remember Brother Paul? That terrible storm he was in. They had done all they knew how to keep that ship afloat. Brother Paul said, I want to tell you, he said, this angel of the Lord was with me last night. And he said, this thing's going to go down, but y'all better stay on board. Because if you stay on board, he said, he won't let you die. He's going to preserve your life. That old carnal ship, that old thing, it's going to go. There's a lot of things that people put their trust in, and those will fail you, but God never will. He stood the test of time. We can put our hand in His, and He'll guide us safely on. I want to encourage you. I am confident. I've been around long enough to know and fought enough spiritual battles enough to know that between now, if the Lord allows time to tarry, between now and next time we meet, if next in Monarch time, if another year rolls around, that you're going to find places that you're going to fight the devil. And he'll do all he can to destroy you. But you don't have to fall. I want to encourage you to start using some of these. Oh, humility. Sometimes you think, Lord, that's too hard. That's too hard a weapon. But it requires me to get real low. Oh, but it's a powerful weapon. It can bring down strongholds. Places where the devil's built up things in our mind. It can tear it right on down. Oh, the Lord, help us. May the Lord bless us and in this congregation that the devil won't get an advantage and we won't allow him to tear things up because God wants to control us and our lives for our own good, that our joy might be full. Pray for me.